Good morning to you all. So good to be here in the house of our Lord. In a few days, I'll be en route to the Far East, Asia, sometimes called the Orient, in a variety of cities and a variety of countries. Preaching the gospel of Christ. I'll fly from Nashville to Detroit, to Seoul, South Korea, and then into Bangkok, Thailand. And from there, I'll either take a bus or catch a plane to Udon, Thailand, further up north in the country, where I'll meet up with my father-in-law, Ket, who will be speaking in a gospel meeting at Udon, and he will pick me up at the airport or the bus station. And from there, we will make it to the border crossing at Nong Khai to get into the country of Laos. Most here who know my history are familiar with how I learned about preaching opportunities in Southeast Asia. It largely began with a Laotian Christian whom I met in Fort Worth, Texas, who worships at the North Beach Church of Christ. His name is Philip Macedonia. I came to find out how he had a remarkable life story and how he heard and learned of the gospel of Christ, being baptized for the remission of his sins in the Mekong River. And he had suffered tremendously for the cause of Christianity, including having a brother-in-law who had tried to murder him by burning him in a house fire. I will do my best to document in a book eventually his life and his saga for Christ, because it is indeed quite an epic. But I learned along from meeting him that though he had come into the country as a refugee in 1980, he had for years wanted to return over to Laos to teach Bible classes to his former countrymen and to preach the gospel to them. But he lacked opportunity, being a poor man and not having a whole lot of contacts. This here is a picture of his Bible in the Thai language with lots of notes recorded in it. He also has a number of health issues, not the least of which is being physically blind. So he is no longer reading and making notes in that Bible today. He listens to the Bible with an audio recording of it. But I wanted to help him to fulfill his dream, and yet I did not feel so good about letting him go alone. He's blind. He'd be headed back into a communist country fraught with danger. So I knew that the challenges would be immense at trying to pull all of this off. And there was an additional consideration that I had in mind. I knew of gospel preachers who had gone to the Philippines, to India, to Africa, to South America, and I myself have been to all of those places, sometimes multiple times as well, preaching the gospel of our Lord. But I did not know of a single preacher from a conservative, non-institutional Church of Christ who had gone into Thailand and Laos preaching. Not a single one. That doesn't mean that there hadn't been anybody, I just did not know of them. I reached out to an online preaching group that my brother Stephen and I are both a part of, and I just asked simply, does anyone know of any conservative preacher who had gone preaching in Thailand or Laos? And one by one, men were writing back, no, sorry, unfortunately can't help you, sorry, don't know of anybody. So increasingly it weighed on my heart, and it was tugging on my heartstrings, that the pure gospel of Christ that talks about the truth regarding the work and organization of the New Testament church, the church that Jesus Christ shed his blood for and built, needed to be brought to that part of the world. Do not forget that it was the Apostle Paul's M.O., modus operandi, to not try to build on another man's foundation per se, but rather to make it his aim to go where Christ had not been named. And here I sense that indeed there was a great niche to fill. Brother Steve Wallace wrote back encouraging me to call him sometime. I did, and he said, "Well, look, Justin, I don't know of Christians who have gone preaching to Thailand or Laos, but as I've gone into India to bring the gospel, I remember distinctly meeting a Christian man there who had been to Thailand. And he happens to know of people there, and he's talked about returning one day, and he seems to even have some contacts for Laos. That Christian's name is Alex Midhun. He is from Kerala, India, along the southern tip of that subcontinent. He put me in touch with a Christian girl named Petsavon Inthavong, who lived in Vientiane, Laos, and whose father is a preacher in a Church of Christ over there, a farmer and a preacher. And Alex said that she speaks English, but her father unfortunately does not. So naturally, when I touched base with them, it would have to be first through her, because obviously I did not know a word of Lao. When she learned of my objectives to take with me both Alex Midhun and Philip Macedonia to preach over there, she was more than happy to be of service to us all. She was glad for it, much like a modern-day Lydia from the book of Acts. Lydia from Philippi, but originally a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. A girl with an earnest desire to serve the Lord and to be of help to the Lord's people. I did not know it at that time, and she did not know it at that time, but we would end up being a match for each other. And she would become my wife. And we used the name Sarah for her, but it's not yet her official name. Now, it's long been in my heart to have Brother Philip Macedonia out there alongside with me preaching the gospel. He's blind, but he's memorized lots of scripture. He has an incredible recall, which has proved so very useful as I have interviewed him to document his story. And he happens to be fluent in their language because it is indeed his native tongue. But what I later learned was that he had signed over power of attorney to a niece. And she feels strongly that he first needs to receive clearance from doctors to be able to go. So I've been in touch with her about all of that, and we just simply have to be very patient, waiting for an open door, if God in His providence should happen to grant that. Tapping into my wife's family and their network of contacts, though, steadily, the grid was finally, at long last, able to light up. And here's where we are mutually able to have fellowship together, to have influence, to help others to see the pure gospel of Christ and to obey that pure gospel of Christ. Primarily, I have done preaching in Vientiane, Laos, but I've also been able to do preaching in Lampang, Thailand, and also in Saigon, Vietnam, Saigon being known today as Ho Chi Minh City. For this upcoming trip, I'll be returning to those very same places to conduct meeting work. But there may also be an opportunity to preach in Beijing and Shanghai in China, as I've received an invitation from Christians over there to come and join them for a little while. Now, I could wish that everybody on this planet spoke English. But ever since the days of the Tower of Babel, there are so many different languages that are spoken in this world. Here is our alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And here is the Laotian alphabet. Where is your letter A, your letter B, your letter C. They simply have a different way of writing out symbols for sounds. And here is the Thai alphabet. And while we have 26 letters in our alphabet, they've got 44 consonants in their alphabet. Not a single vowel is pictured over there, because they have different marks and dashes and squiggles to represent vowel sounds. Here is the Vietnamese alphabet. Now, at least they have letters that look like ours, but those letters form words that make absolutely no sense to any of us. The only reason they have an alphabet that is similar to ours is thanks to Portuguese and French missionaries from centuries ago. Here is the Khmer or Cambodian alphabet. Cambodia borders Laos and Thailand and Vietnam. And here is the Burmese alphabet. Burma or Myanmar borders Laos and Thailand. And here is the Chinese alphabet, or at least some characters. There are thousands upon thousands. Mandarin, there's also Cantonese, mutually unintelligible from one form to the other. Hence the great need for translators. I'm doing my best to learn some of these languages, but friends, it's going to take time, lots of time, to get competent with those languages. Until such time that I might become fluent, I have been helped. Here is a picture of Suwat Chinrungrong. He is my translator in Lampang, Thailand, which would be there in the center of that red circle. And here is a picture of some of the members of the congregation. Suwat is the man behind my wife's shoulder. He is the one wearing the glasses. His wife, Potjai, is in the middle, holding the baby. Quite a few years ago, my wife's sister had gone to a school to learn about the Bible with Suwat, and so that's how this particular connection had been made for us. Suwat's English is actually pretty good, and he is a very zealous young man. He's helping me to preach at a church up there in the mountains. There's also a smaller congregation at the base of the mountain that I might be able to hold a meeting at upon my return. We did briefly meet up with some of the Christians over there at that particular congregation. Suwat works as a farmer, growing mainly coffee, but there are other crops as well. When I was at his house, he wanted me to try some of his macadamia nuts that he had harvested. He just sat there on the ground and took a hammer and whapped them open and then handed them to me. And I'm told that in some markets here in the United States that you can get jackfruit, but I had never ever tasted jackfruit in my life. I don't know about you. My mother never got it for us, so I never tried it. But I was looking at that fruit and pointing at it and asking about it, and he cut it open for me right then and there. And I got to taste it. It has a rather strong, sharp taste to it, but pleasant. Very interesting, silky, and sturdy texture to it. At the base of that mountain, which takes nearly 2 hours to get down by driving because the roads happen to be quite narrow and steep and they twist and turn a lot. You have there at the foot of that mountain another Church of Christ, and we got to meet some of the brethren there and visit with them. And Lord willing, when I get back, I can preach a gospel meeting even for them, with Suwat, of course, helping with translation. In Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, I was also able to do some preaching over there and meet up with Brother Alan Malone. But before going over to there, I did get up to Chiang Mai, and that is just a few hours away to the north of Lampang. You have a bigger city there in Chiang Mai, second only to Bangkok, and I met up with Kasim Srisutan, and his wife meow. Meow sounds a lot like the sound that a cat would make. They are with a smaller congregation, a smaller Church of Christ in the big city. And like my wife Sarah's family, they also take care of some girls to help steer them away from being trafficked, which is a terrible problem in that part of the world. And at his place, we had some real good studies in the book of Ephesians, but Kasim's English is not quite as good as Sawat's English, so in general, I'm going to be deferring to Sawat when I do preaching in the country of Thailand. But be careful about getting around out there from place to place, because the roads can be quite treacherous, and their vehicles are just not as sturdy as our vehicles. So it's not all that uncommon for a bus to break down, and that happened to us. So you just get off the bus and you wait there by the shoulder of the road for another bus to come and get you. The man in the red robe is a Buddhist monk that I sat by on that particular trip over there. Brother Alan Malone is not too far away from where we're at. He is over in Millersville, Tennessee. And our time together preaching overlapped out there, but he had to go back to the United States after a few weeks, and I was able to continue preaching there after his departure. They don't have a church building where they would meet at over there in Saigon, but they do assemble in the home, the apartment home of Dang, Trang, and Duc. And Duc serves as my translator out over there. He is a remarkable young man, highly intelligent, greatly gifted. So I retain a lot of confidence in his translating capabilities. His girlfriend, Maddie, has a very compelling story. And she is pictured in the middle, having a conversation with Duc and Alan. She is a somewhat newer convert. In her early days of being interested in Duc and dating him, she did not understand why he happened to be so religious. In fact, she sought to try and show him that Christianity itself was just a myth. And maybe someone like Jesus never even existed. Duc welcomed the challenge, and together they started to study the topic of evidences. In time, she came to see that not only was Jesus a real person of history, but also that the whole Bible itself could indeed be trusted. She made the decision to be baptized for the remission of her sins and to attend Bible studies and worship services at the apartment of Dang, Trang, and Duc. Now, when her parents learned of this, get this, they locked her in her room for 3 straight days, and they had taken her phone away. Duc, of course, had become concerned because he couldn't reach her anymore, and she was not at school. He was worried, but what could he really do? Fortunately, the parents eventually let her out, but she made it clear to them that she was going to continue going to church services. At present, her relationship with her parents is still strained, but her parents have moved from anger more towards begrudging acceptance of the situation. I've counseled her to always keep the Lord first, but to keep setting the right example, submitting to them when she can, so long as it does not contradict God's will. And perhaps in time, it may lead to her parents becoming curious about the choices that she's made, and maybe one day they can do the same type of investigating that she'd already gone through. So let's keep Maddie and her family in our prayers. Here we are in a room of the apartment getting ready for a worship service. You can get a better look at Maddie because she's looking over at Duc. I brought a lesson on the family of God at this particular service here with Duc translating for me. And here is a picture of a Bible study at the apartment of Dario, who happens to be the other white man that is there. It's a weekend study that I did from Gospel of Luke. We were in Luke chapter 10 talking about the Good Samaritan. Dario himself is not yet a New Testament Christian, but he's been attending the studies and he's even opened up his own apartment to host some of these studies. He has a Lutheran background, but he's beginning to see the differences between the Lutheran church and the church that you read about in Scripture. So hopefully in time he will be fully converted. He is originally from Italy, but he married a Vietnamese woman. This is his wife, Chow, who is taking the photo. Alan Malone had already left back for the United States, so he is not pictured here. In Vientiane, Laos, the church that I have primarily preached at is at the village of Nong Pen Nhua. Vientiane is approximately in the center of that red circle. The church meets at the home of Sarah's parents. On Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, we have Bible studies. And on Sunday, we have a worship service where I preach. And Tong Lin, Sarah's uncle, has been my translator there for the worship services and for the Bible studies. And his English, quite frankly, is outstanding. And generally what is done is that a video call is set up for the services and for the studies. And we happen to have patched into that Christians tuning in from other parts of Laos. That could be from Savannakhet, which is about a 9-hour drive to the south along the panhandle, or Luang Prabang, which is 3 hours north by train, or Udomsai or Sanyabuli, provinces to the west, which are more remote. Benches are set out in the living room for people to sit on, and it can get quite crowded, and some sit on the floor. And I've brought sermons here, lessons on a plethora of topics related to the church, or to godly living, or to the judgment to come. We've also had studies over at Nibon Village, which is about 2 hours away from Nong Pen Nhua, heading up to the north. And at Nabon Village, Sarah has a grandmother who is there who happens to be in her 90s. There's probably about 12 that are there. A few are pictured here. The church, to be honest, mainly consists of women. You can see Sarah's grandmother, tiny little woman, putting her hand on my shoulder. Maybe she's trying to make sure that I'm in fact real. The only reason I have shoes on in that particular photo was that the service was done, and so I was headed back to the vehicle and about ready to get into the car, and they quickly called me back to get a fast photo, so I had to run in for that opportunity. But normally they always go barefoot in their houses, and here indeed at a different time you can see that I am in fact barefoot. I was closing out a study in prayer. Tong Lin was translating that prayer. Sarah's father is kneeling on the ground, holding a phone that has the Zoom video call so that others can see and hear as well. And it was a Christian sister who snapped the photo and later sent it to me. Now, in addition to farming, my wife's family has partnered with a governmental organization called the Association of Disadvantaged Youth to be able to assist girls from the highlands and from tribes scattered deep in Laos in the jungles to provide lodging or a safe house of sorts so as to help girls that may otherwise be abducted and snatched away into trafficking. That goes on a lot in third world countries, developing countries. So the girls are very grateful to be there and to have an education in the city that they just simply could not obtain otherwise. And in talking with them through Sarah, you learn a little about where they are from and what life happens to be like out there. You learn about their families and what some of their life goals and dreams and hopes happen to be. Some I discovered wanted to be nurses or doctors, teachers, writers, tour guides or to have a career in law enforcement or to go into the army. A good number of them are now Christians, but a few are still not yet. And when I asked the ones that were not yet Christians why exactly that was so, they were basically saying they just felt that they weren't quite ready, or they were worried that if they were to be baptized, they might later fall away. And of course, we all understand the dire need for patience. It takes time for there to be an awakening within the heart. I had brought a sermon on doors of opportunity one time, and I talked about how an open door can indeed close, and there are chances that God gives us, but there can come a point where those chances do run out. Noting how in the days of Noah, the Bible talks about how the Lord shut the door to that ark in Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. But I pair that up with Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. It talks about how Jesus has the key of David, and he opens and no man can shut. And he shuts and no man can open. Well, it wasn't long after that that two of the girls, one named Cream and the other named Luke, did some soul searching and determined that surely they were ready. Now, it would have been a bit of a drive to get to the Mekong River, so it was decided to use the catfish pond at my wife's property for the baptistry. And that day, both Luke and Cream were baptized, and you could see excitement on their faces. This here is Luke. Luke was so happy that she wanted to tell her people, a clan called the Kamu, that they should consider sending more girls over here, for she wanted more from her village to hear what she had been blessed to hear and to respond to. And of course, there is more work to do to ground them spiritually. And by the grace of God, I hope I can share in that process. Here you can see everyone gathered there by the catfish pond. Tong Lin took their confession and immersed them, for he speaks Lao. I would not know where to begin with all of that. And while in Laos, I will occasionally do gospel meeting work at Luang Prabang, where Chun Suk and his wife Kami are Christians meeting there in their house. And Joshua Sisalit from Sanyabuli, he will be my translator over there. He has good English, and he is a very friendly young man, a very curious young man. He is a newlywed, having gotten married at about the same time that I did. And here you can see Chun Suk's humble abode. He set before me some pineapple and some banana chips to snack upon while we planned together. On this particular trip, there may be a chance to incorporate preaching in China. I happen to be very good friends with Daniel Pasco and his wife Fei Fei, who live up in Bowling Green and attend at the Raised Branch Church of Christ. Fei Fei is originally from Beijing, China. She talked with two of her Christian friends over there in China, one named David and the other named Miles. When they heard that I would be preaching in the Far East for several months, they extended an open invitation for me to come over there so that they could meet me and hear some gospel preaching as well. I tend to look at that as a form of the Macedonian call. Come over here and help us. I told them I would do my best to try to accommodate that if I would be able to secure a visa to enter into the country of China, which is not always so easy for an American to get. Here you can see a photo where I'm with Daniel and Fei Fei at their home, and we were doing a video call with David, who lives in China. Fei Fei is holding up the phone to Daniel's face so that he can see David and speak a little bit with him. I was able to interact with David, who is very eager to see me over there, God willing. So keep all of that in prayers, because all of it is in the early stages as far as preparations and planning. But I'm of the mindset found first in the Apostle Paul, that I will gladly spend and be spent for the sake of souls in this world and for the spread of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make no mistake, it is rigorous physically, mentally, emotionally. But it is the work that the Lord would have us to do. Because Jesus himself said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Do we have the spirit of Isaiah? "Lord, here I am. Send me. For how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" We all need the gospel of Jesus Christ. You do, I do, and even those who are in the deep, dark jungles. We all need the gospel. And if we obey the gospel and live for that gospel of Christ, then there is a beautiful, grand reward, eternal reward, awaiting all of us. Let's not miss out on that. Because if we miss heaven, then we have truly missed what this life is all about. If you happen to be here and are not yet a child of God, we encourage you to become one. Participate in the grand work of God. Humble yourself under the hand of God and He will lift you up. Share in that blood of Jesus Christ. Have your sins washed away, cleansed therein by obeying Him and His message. If we can be of service to you towards that end, make your way to the front while we stand now and sing the song that has been announced.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for He loves you so. For He bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior, yes.